Gospel of Mark series, the whole series is about the Son of God. Incredible title for Jesus. And this morning, it's really about our part and God's part. From Mark 3:31 to 4:41, but I'm going to focus in on a few middle verses there mostly, but we'll read it all. Sorry. Can't get rid of this chest cold, so if I cough and collapse, I'm just one of the seeds. It's okay, I'll be all right. So continuing to read in the Gospel of Mark, and when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables, and he said to them, "Thanks, man. To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." So he hides it from some people. Remember, the wise will be made foolish, or looked to foolish, and the foolish will be made wise. And then he goes on to a key thing before he explains this parable. He said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" This is an easy one, he says. Right? A parable is simply teaching a spiritual truth with common things that are around them all the time. He says, this is a simple one, guys. You can't do this one. What are you going to do with all the other parables? So then he goes on and explains it. The sower sows the word. It's the word of God. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Boy, do we live in a culture where this happens rampantly. You know, we dismiss. As soon as someone hears some truth, it's dismissed. It's written off as not important, or not as important as something else, or it's not true, and it's dismissed. It's not really even weighed. Hey, is this true? What could impact could this have? Or it doesn't apply to me. It's a dismissive attitude towards the Word of God here. And there's also distracting thoughts. This is more filled out in the weeds one. But even no time to really consider. We're too busy. And many people have heard some truth. But Satan's had an opportunity to grab it, and they're like hard soil. It hasn't penetrated them. It's almost bounced off them. And then going on the next few verses, and these, the next ones, are the ones sown on rocky ground. The ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. It's fun to be in their presence. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation, hard things, trials, or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. God, you were going to make my life better. And by better, I describe it this way. And when that doesn't happen, we're disappointed that he's still God and not our great vending machine in the sky or something. We fall away. And they only have considered the benefits. I don't know anybody that wants to go to hell, right? I want to go to heaven. I want the benefits of following Jesus. But he also says, count the cost. There's a cost to surrendering our life to Jesus, and he leads us in the way that is truly right, even when we don't understand it. And these people haven't considered the cost, so their lives are like the ones in the rocks. They have no root. And as soon as something hard hits, they wither and die. And others are the ones sown among the thorns. These are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. So they want it. Oh, that sounds great. But are too consumed with everyday stuff, with accumulating stuff, pursuing riches. And it's like a prong of a fish hook gets into us, and pulling it out hurts too bad, or the prong of a porcupine. And so we just leave it in there. Oh, we want something else, but I won't give up these things. And Jesus says we can only serve one master, not two. These are those that try and serve two, but it proves unfruitful. And then finally, the last ones are the ones where it's sown in good soil, are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit. 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. This speaks of our part. It starts off here, more of our part, and it's bigger. We have a response to what we hear, the truth that's been explained to us. That's our part. And we have an opportunity. We're going to take communion. I'm going to encourage us just before we take the bread, but I'll give you the question now. What kind of soil are we today? Are we this week? Are we the soil of the hard ground? It's most of the truth we're hearing, Satan has time to steal it. Are we the rocks? Oh yeah, this is great! But we actually have no root. As soon as we're disappointed, discouraged, something hard comes into life, we're out of here. Or are we being choked out by the cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, other things really are more important to us, and that's what we're pursuing in our lives. I want to read a little more about our part, the next few verses here. And he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? It's crazy, right? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears, let him hear. And he said, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, or has hardly any, even what little he has will be taken away. And our part is significant. We're called to bear fruit. It has to bear fruit. We're receiving the word, the seed of the word of God in us, and it bears fruit. Otherwise, we're one of the other types of soil, Jesus is saying. We can't just hide our faith in a basket or under a bed. We are the light of the world. But our part is not near as big as God's part, as he goes into the next part of it. And here's the piece of scripture I want to focus on here next. God's part is huge. And Jesus continues to teach. He says, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. Now, it's a similar thing, but it teaches something different. It's a different parable. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, and he knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the grain full grain in the ear. And when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. See, God's part's way bigger. I once heard a man describe a story of a young boy, and he comes running in the house, all excited. Mom, look what me and Dad built. And she looks out the window, and there's a great play fort out there. Now, this is a really young boy, and he says, look what me and Dad built. Right? Reality was, the boy probably tried to drive in two nails and probably bent over both of them. Me and Dad, right? It's, kind of taking a little more credit than is due there. That's much more like it is. I mean, yes, we have a part. We are the soil, our lives. Do we receive the Word of God, our part? And sometimes we way overblow our part. We think way too much. Oh, I need to explain this just right. I need to. And we forget that God is still a God of miracles. When God steps in, miracles happen. His part is miraculous, mysterious. We don't even know, can't even fully describe as good a science as we have. We kind of get it, how a seed grows. But there's something still mysterious about it. And that's okay. And there's miracles of God. H.D. Spence Jones says of this passage, "So in spiritual things, the sower commences, he starts the work, and the grace of God perfects it in the heart, which receives these influences." So even though we're opening our lives up to be the good soil, who's actually producing the growth? It's God. God does it. Our part is important. And it's not nearly as big, grandiose, miraculous as God's part is. Miraculous doesn't just happen in the Old Testament and the New Testament in biblical times. It's still going on today. But the way we live, especially in North America, it's as if miracles are only a thing of the past. Right? We're trying to, many people even within churches, try and explain away the miracles of Scripture. From the crossing of the Red Sea, try and explain it away. Well, this is what was happening and this is what was going on. Rather than, but God showed up and did something new and rescued his people. And he does all sorts of things. There's all sorts of miracles in Scripture. But do we really believe God is the God of miracles today? That when we speak a word of truth, that is planting a seed, and in due time, that it'll produce results? The disciples in Jesus' day were discouraged. They were going out there sharing. Mark shares this second parable to encourage them. The success of the Christian message, similar to this passage, does not depend on human effort or understanding. Right? When you farmers put your seeds in the ground, does it help to go in and go, grow seeds? Right? What are you going to do to make it grow faster, grow stronger? Prepared the soil. The soil's prepared. You've done your part. Now plant the seed and let God do His. We need to scatter. Our part is important. Or we need to open our lives up. It's both and, right? We're both the soil and the scatterers. But it depends completely upon God's miraculous showing up. And the success is because God is active. We get to participate. We get to run in and go, hey, look at what me and Dad built. Realize our part is significant. We get to do stuff with God. We scatter the seed. But the end emphasis of this passage, and perhaps the primary focus of this parable, is the assurance of the harvest. The harvest will happen just at the right time, God's time. Jesus, by telling the story, and Mark by recording it, are encouraging the disciples who are experiencing rejection of their message, right? They're scattering seed. They're not seeing much result. I think we're at a time in that right now in North America. But don't quit scattering the seed. Some of it, he says, is landing on good soil and will produce a harvest. But do we really believe that? Do we believe that God will still show up today, in our day? That the kingdom of God will surely come. Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him." It's our faith level today. Do we really believe God can move and rescue a life? Do we really believe He can rescue a marriage? That He can do things we can't? We're called to scatter the seed, the Word of God, the truth. And trust Him so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. our part is very small. God's part is very big. And together, He brings about true transformation, a change. We cannot make seed grow. In fact, we can't even fully explain how it grows. There's a mystery. But the seed, the growth of the seed and the development of the harvest, it takes a good deal of faith to be a farmer. And it also takes patience. The parable of the sower and the soils, the Lord suggested that much of the seed scattered would fall on unproductive soil. Never are we called to quit scattering. We still scatter. Even though, yeah, a lot's going to fall on the path, some's going to fall on the rock, some get drowned out by weeds. Our part isn't that. We're not responsible for that. When it lands on us, yes, we're responsible for it. But not when it lands on others. In due season, there will be a reap a harvest. And then this next passage is bringing a warning and encouragement. The encouragement was that from a very small beginnings, as this passage goes on, the mustard seed is the next passage. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is one of the smallest seeds of the earth. Yet, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than the other garden plants and puts out large branches so that birds of the air can make nests in its shade. And it goes on, with many such parables he spoke the word to them, and they were able to hear it as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without parables, but privately with his disciples he explained everything. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and he is Jesus. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? Right? Faith of a mustard seed grows into something great. And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? God's part is huge and he's still doing miracles. Do we believe him in the way we actually live? Do we really believe he's the God of miracles? Will we do our part believing he will do his? We usually want a bigger part, right? We want to control more of the picture. More of our life and more of the lives around us. But he's inviting us to an incredible life of faith. Faith in him, not in ourselves. We think we need to convince people. And there is a place for, certainly we want to share why we believe and have that thought through, but we want to scatter the truth and let God do his part. As we move into a time of communion, I want to back up to the first part that we acted out. Where are you at right now in your receiving from God? What type of soil are you currently? A hard path? Is most of it being stolen by Satan before it has any opportunity to really put down some roots? It's just stolen. Just robbed. Oh, I'm hearing some stuff. But we just leave it there. We just leave it out in the open for the enemy to steal. Are our lives like those of the rocks? hey, it's exciting, I want to follow Jesus, wouldn't it be exciting? But we're just focusing on the benefits of following Jesus. We just want the joy, but not the journey and the discipline, the work that goes into putting down roots. And we have no roots, and we wither and we die. Or are we so consumed with the cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, our own schedule, here's what I'm doing, maybe when I'm older I'll take God and following Him more seriously, but right now I'm just consumed with this. The cares of the world are creeping in, and God's going, boy, seeds being scattered, but it's not bearing fruit. Or are we currently those who are bearing fruit, much fruit, scattering seed to others that God would have an impact? As we go, before I'll invite those serving to come forward, please. Think about, as we take the bread, we do this in remembrance of Him. That is Jesus. All that He's done. He's created everything that exists. Everything in heaven and on earth. He's spoken into existence. He's given us life. He grieved when we rebelled against Him. When we corrupted His creation. And went, no, I'm going my own way, God. Everything's corrupted. It's not as it should be. There shouldn't be sickness and dying and pain and other results, the fruits of sin. But there is in this world. But He's a faithful God. He's a covenant God. You do the Old Testament. It doesn't matter whether the people are faithful or unfaithful. God is always faithful. And He's made a new covenant in Jesus. Jesus comes. He's born as a baby. He crosses that great chasm we can't cross on our own. He's made a way for us to have relationship with Him. He was born as a baby, lives a perfect sinless life. He dies on the cross. He bears the payment of sin that we earn. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life, and He's taken that on Himself. These are some of the truths, but all of those need to be unpacked. All of these need to be applied in our own lives. How are we living these out? What kind of soil is our lives? Think about that as we distribute the bread this morning. Oops. I'll pray, and then we'll distribute the bread. Heavenly Father, our part is important. Our part first to receive the word and let it have impact deeply, consistently, persistently, bringing transformation in our lives. Not conformity, not trying to look like each other, sound like each other on the outside. But true transformation at the inside. What truths are You speaking to us today? Broadcasting, sowing into our lives. And are we letting those land? Help us examine ourselves well, God. Would You reveal where we're truly at in our lives today? I ask in Your name, Jesus. Amen. I ask you to come and start serving. As you do, I'll just explain.